Call now upon our brother, Mr. Timothy Ormerod, who's a second year ministerial student from our Clock Mills congregation, to read the scriptures. And after Timothy reads the scriptures, Mr. Brian Lorimer, a third year ministerial student from Ballymena, will bring God's word. Turn with me this morning to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis in the chapter number 22. Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to commence reading at the verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Bide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and will come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Amen. And may the Lord bless his reading.
Thank our brother Timothy for reading that portion of God's word. And with God's word open before us, keeping it open there before us, and we'd like to thank our brother Glenn Wilkinson for leading the meeting. And Glenn is a first year theological student from our Auchnacloy congregation. And so with God's word open before us, let us briefly seek the Lord's face, praying for his help. You who are saved, you pray with me, praying under one head, asking God for his blessing upon the meeting. Lord, our Heavenly Father, as we continue on in thy presence, we thank thee for this opportunity of opening divine truth. And we're conscious that we're not able of these things in and of ourselves. But we thank thee, as Paul the cry of old, our sufficiency is of God. And we ask of thee that thou wilt fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power, that thou wilt empty us now of self and of sin, and that you'll bless the hearing of divine truth, you'll bless the preaching of it. Hide us behind the cross, and that none would be seen save Jesus only. Cause his face to shine upon us. Warm our hearts. And deliver us from ourselves. And bear us along. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask all these things. Careful to give thee all the praise and glory, which is due thy name. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Genesis 22, verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. The Lamb of God is most important in Scripture because redemption is the central theme in all of the Bible. From page to page, from cover to cover, the Bible reveals him and speaks and teaches of him. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the theme is his death. That is the cross work of Christ. The turning away of God's wrath against sinners by means of an atoning sacrifice. The removal of guilt by means of atonement rendered to God. Both the Old and New Testaments are never far from Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And this speaks of him as the great sacrifice by which atonement is made for sin and man is reconciled to God. You see, Abraham. Well, Abraham speaks in respect to the Messiah, to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own Lamb, whom God provided, appointed in counsel and covenant before the world was, and who in promise, type and figure, was slain from the foundation of the world, and whom in due time God would send forth into the world, and make him, and him only, an offering for sin, and accept of him in the room and stead of his people. And this was a provision that only could be made by the Lord, and was the produce of his infinite wisdom and the fruit of his grace, favor, and goodwill, and which Abraham had a clear sight and strong persuasion. And though these words were spoken by Abraham, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, though they may be considered as a direct answer to Isaac's question, where is the lamb? They may be seen or viewed undoubtedly as a prophecy of Abraham's and of his faith in it that God would, and in fact he did, provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so we have God's lamb prophesied. God's lamb prophesied. We find here in Genesis 22 one of the clearest pictures of the cross, that Calvary is seen afar off, God's Lamb prophesied, and is a pointer to the cross. For it is the third person of the Trinity, God's Holy Spirit, that speaks by Abraham's mouth and seems to predict the Lamb of God, which he has provided and which taketh away the sin of the world. And so firstly, whom is Abraham to sacrifice? Whom is Abraham to sacrifice? Well, there's no question as to whom Abraham is to sacrifice. An offer is a burnt offering. It's very clear and plain from verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Directly, immediately, not thine ox, nor thy sheep, nor thy lamb, nor thy servant, but thy son. But thy son. Here is whom Abraham is to sacrifice. The one on whom his affections were strongly set. Being a lovely youth, a dutiful son, and the child of promise, on whom all his hope and expectation of a numerous offspring was promised him and was built, whom thou lovest. And so, child of God, we see clearly the extreme clarity of God's command. Of God's command, whom Abraham is to sacrifice. Which instructs us in important lessons. You see, when God tells us to do something, he will make it very clear as to what it is. And therefore God never directs us to take unusual action without giving us much assurance as to what the action is. We heard from our brother's testimony. The Lord made it very clear to him where he was to go. There's no doubt about it. And so the truth not only encourages us, but it also warns us that before we take any drastic decision, we must have a clear and strong command from God in doing so. And so as we look at Genesis 22, verse 2, we see clearly three small little descriptions which help us better to see the nature of the sacrifice Abraham had to make, and shows us how wonderfully Isaac, this young man, foreshadows God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the only Son, verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. This phrase we see it in verse 12. At the end of verse 12, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Again in verse 16, the end of that verse, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. When Isaac is sacrificed, there'll be no son left. You see, Abraham is being asked to give his all. And child of God, we may give much. We may give much. But if there's much left, well, the sacrifice is not nearly as great as when it is when we have nothing left. You see, it's what's left that determines the real size and cost of our sacrificing. Remember the widow's mites. Two mites. In Luke's gospel, though she only gave two mites, she gave all that she had. She gave all that she had. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury have cast in all the living that she had. You see, others gave more in terms of money, but not in terms of sacrifice. And so Isaac was Abraham's only son, and so Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was God's only son. And so both Isaac and Christ are, in fact, called the only begotten Son. Hebrews 11:17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, tested, tempted, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises, offered up his only begotten Son. And that most famous verse in all of the Bible, as Martin Luther called it, the Bible in miniature, the gospel contained in one verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so what a price. What a price God paid for our salvation. And therefore we must ask the question, do we reciprocate in our sacrificing to serve him? Or do we keep back part of the price? You see, we were bought with a price. Purchased by the blood of Christ. Purchased by the blood of God. He didn't purchase part of us. He didn't purchase part of us. There is also the love son. The love son. Isaac is described by God as the son whom thou lovest. You see, Abraham is asked to give up Isaac, the son he loved most. And so Abraham is asked to do more than merely send him away. He's being asked to slay him. And so truly, what a great test of the heart's affection is this test for Abraham. And therefore, the heart must be examined. The heart must be examined to determine the character of our sacrifice. Remember in Proverbs what God said, my son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart. And so this is God's plea to man. That is the main thing that God desires from us. Because if he has our heart, he has everything about us. We may sacrifice much. We may sacrifice much, but you see, if the heart's not in it, the sacrifice loses much of its value. And so Abraham demonstrated in his willingness to sacrifice Isaac that God was his first love. That God was his first love. You see, love, real love, real love, ever seeks the highest interest of others. Love is unselfish. It gives. And so it's not hard to see the Lamb of God, God's Lamb. Just as Isaac was greatly loved by his father, so Jesus Christ was loved by his father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God spared not his best. God spared not his best. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? They not only loved their sons, but willingly sacrificed their beloved sons. And so we see the law-abiding son. Isaac submitted completely to his father's will. He submitted to his father's will. His submission is seen clearly in verse 3 in his going with his father. In his going with his father, we see his submission in carrying the wood for Abraham in verse 6, and especially in that he utters no words of complaint or protest. And Abraham bound Isaac his son and laid him in the altar upon the wood, verse 9. You see, he opened not his mouth. And so we see clearly the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who held his peace, the one who did always those things which pleased his Father. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Christ said, my meat, my food, that which consumes me, my meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And so the cross was no afterthought. The cross was no afterthought. For the greatest evidence of Christ's submission had to do with his being sacrificed. He was, as stated in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so the Christ-like submission which Isaac so wonderfully demonstrated is that which ought to characterize us, the people of God. But isn't it often the case, instead of submission, we argue and complain? Instead of unity, there's disunity. Instead of Christ-likeness, there's carnality. And at times we wonder why we don't experience the blessings of the saints of old who submitted completely to God's will. And so if we want God's blessing, if we want God's blessing, we must submit to the word of God, to the word of our Heavenly Father, as Isaac submitted to his father, and therefore the word of God must be our supreme authority at all times, as we teach the children the shorter catechism. What do the scriptures principally teach? The scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God, and what duty God requires of man. Where is Abraham to sacrifice? Well, the middle part of verse 2. And get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. This place where Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac was in the area which would be later known as Jerusalem. It was a 3 days' journey, according to verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. A significant feature of the location for the sacrificing of Isaac is its obvious relationship with Calvary and Christ. For this is the place where the Lamb of God, God's Lamb, would be crucified and was crucified. You see, we've no difficulty believing that the crucifixion of Christ occurred not only in the general area, but also right at the very place where Abraham offered Isaac as Christ would be the substitute, and saw the place afar off. And so what is Abraham to sacrifice? What is Abraham to sacrifice? Verse 7 and 8. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. You see, young Isaac is puzzled. He's puzzled that Abraham was planning to offer a burnt offering, but had no lamb. Both the asking by Isaac and the answering by Abraham about the missing lamb will instruct us an important lesson, an important truth. You see, Isaac's question, where is the lamb, shows us that he was in no doubt instructed regarding sacrifices. Abraham seemed to it that he was instructed, that he was built up, taught, nurtured concerning sacrifices. Isaac knew vital truths regarding worship. Abraham seemed to it, his father. And so Isaac knew vital truths concerning worship. And the sad thing is, many of our churches wouldn't even know if the lamb was missing. They wouldn't even know if the lamb was missing, because men are so spiritually dull, they cannot tell the difference between a sermon that honors Christ and a sermon that leaves Christ out entirely. There are many, many who seek to embrace a salvation without Jesus Christ. Many who seek to embrace a salvation without the Lamb. Many a sermon preached and no mention of our blessed Lord. And we cry out like Mary of old, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And so therefore we must give young Isaac credit. We must give young Isaac credit, for he knew what was missing. He knew that the lamb was essential for a sacrifice for sins. He knew that you couldn't worship without the lamb. And so Abraham's answer conveyed more than he himself probably was aware of that moment. God will provide himself a lamb. And so I encourage you, Sunday school teacher, Christian worker, mother, father, always seek to bring to the children Christ. And as C.H. Spurgeon said, always seek to bring Christ to them. If it means jumping over a hedge to get to Christ, jump over a hedge. Nurture them. Bring Christ before them. And so Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Not only is it prophesied that God would provide a lamb to take Isaac's place, but it also stated that God provided Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for men and to be a savior from sin. Because man didn't provide himself a savior. Man didn't provide himself a way of salvation. No. God is providing himself a lamb in which Christ, who was made an offering for sin and a sacrifice to God of a sweet-smelling savour, and it's being burnt, that is, it's being a burnt offering, denotes the sufferings of Christ, because it was not God's intention. It was not God's intention that Isaac should actually be sacrificed. Yet nobler blood than that of animals in due time was to be shed for sin. Even the blood of the only begotten Son of God. Christ was sacrificed in our stead. Christ was sacrificed in our stead. God's Lamb prophesied. And therefore, as I stated before, and it does well to utter it again, we as the people of God, we ought to stand in awe at being the recipients, the beneficiaries of something that cost the very life of the Son of God. Of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My friend, outside of Christ, God has provided a way back to God. And that way is at the cross. For there's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's fields, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Therefore, repent and believe the gospel. Let us bow reverently, quietly before the Lord. Lord, our Heavenly Father, as we continue on in thy presence, we thank thee for all that has been of thyself. We pray that all that has been of man will fall to the ground, for it's worthless in thy sight. We thank thee for the mercies of God, sins forgiven, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we cry unto thee that thou wilt do that which only thou can do. Draw us graciously to thyself. Conform us more and more to thine image. And what you've done for us, that you'll do for others. Part us with thy blessing and with thy favour. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask all these things, and for thy glory alone. Amen. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen.